A book making waves at the moment is by American author Taylor Jenkins Reid. It's called Daisy and the Six, Daisy Jones and the Six at least. And Taylor Jenkins Reid's first four books were really kind of traditional romances, if you like. Whereas this is very different. It's a look back at a 70s rock group and two key people in that rock group, a male and a female, and their on-off relationship. And it is told kind of documentary style. So it's not a traditional narrative, but each of the six members of the band and then some various minor characters have their opportunity to speak directly to camera, as it were, to tell their bit of the story. And so it goes from one to another, to another, to another, to another, until you have a picture of Daisy Jones and the Six. I recorded one earlier with the author and asked her what led to the change in style and format.
In preparation for reading Daisy Jones and the Six and the interview, I went back to some of your earlier work, Forever Interrupted and After I Do, and they're very different in style. And I do believe that The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo, which I didn't manage to get to, is a kind of bridge between the almost conventional romances of the first four and the very unconventional romance of Daisy Jones and the Six. What has governed that sort of change in style and in format?
I'm always just writing about what I'm interested in. You know, when I first started out, I was interested in writing about young women in the modern world. And I did that for four books. And when I finished my fourth book, I thought, well, I've said all I have to say in that arena, so what do I want to do next? And that the answer to that question became The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo. And then after that, it became, you know, okay, what do I want to write about now? And it was Daisy Jones. But it's never a conscious decision to change or evolve. It's just what I'm interested in changes.
And what made you interested in the 70s? I don't know how old you are, but looking at your photograph, I suspect that your memories of the 70s are given to you by older brothers and cousins and uncles and aunts and parents, not lived through yourself.
I did not live through the 70s. I was born in the 80s. But I have long been fascinated by Fleetwood Mac, Stevie Nicks and Lindsey Buckingham in particular. And I think that's what drew me to it. And then I started doing a lot of research on the 70s and really fell in love with a lot of music that I hadn't been listening to for a lot of my life. And so I got very excited about the idea of telling a story in that space.
And I mean, the 70s do seem to be having something of a comeback as somebody for whom music kind of stopped when Jimi Hendrix died on the 18th September 1970. All right, there were some decent bands in the 70s, like Queen.
sure.
But for me, the 70s weren't a great music area. But they are coming back into fashion. And a magazine that you sometimes write for, Marie Claire, said that the 70s were the best fashion decade ever. And I remember tie-dyed shirts and bell-bottom trousers and go, you've got to be joking.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I don't know that the rock of the 70s was the best rock, or that the fashion was the best fashion, but it was notable. It was specific. And I think that's what's kind of exciting about it. I'm interested to see now that people are getting into the 70s, how we're going to reinterpret some of that fashion. There's not a single pair of bell bottoms at Daisy Jones, I don't think, because I think we make fun of a lot of 70s fashion, and I didn't want it to seem silly. But let's see. I don't know. Bell bottoms could become cool again.
I hope not. I really, really do. I hope not. You said the phrase making fun of, and it's one of the joys of reading Daisy Jones and the Six is this slight tongue-in-cheek approach to it. It's written, it's conceived, it's authored by somebody who is affectionate about it, but is prepared at times to allow a gentle mocking of it. Am I picking up that correctly?
Yeah, Yeah, of course. I mean, we have to have awareness, and my characters in the book have to have an awareness of the time and how absurd some of the things that they were doing were. For these characters to tell stories about themselves in the 70s with a straight face, I think would be a little too self-important. They have to be able to make fun of themselves and make fun of the time.
And when I saw the format, which is these characters, the members of the Six, their managers and music critics, and they're all, as it were, talking straight to camera, and then a transcript of what they say is put onto the page, and we go from one perspective on this band, Daisy Jones and the Six. And I my heart kind of sank, oh dear, how is she going to make this work? But you do triumphantly, and you make it work because each character's voice is unique and absolutely solid. I could block out the names of the characters, and after 30 pages, I would know who was talking because your characterization is so secure. How much sort of pre-planning do you when it comes to the character and the voice that they're going to use and so on do you do?
Yeah, thank you. It is written in a somewhat untraditional format because it's written as an oral history, which normally we're used to seeing nonfiction stories told that way, but not fiction. And so I knew that if every character was going to have a direct relationship with the reader, that I had to know who all of these people were somewhat from the outset. So I did. I took a lot of time thinking about these people and what did they want and what were their motivations. And as they're looking back on the past, what is it they want to clear up, or what is the story they're trying to put forth? I thought a lot about those things, and I also thought a lot about the way that people talk. Different people from different time periods have different colloquialisms and speech patterns, and I wanted, as you were reading it, to feel like you could tell exactly who you were hearing from and that they were coming to life for you. So I spent a lot of time on that.
You obviously have a great ear. I suspect you listen a lot to people, and you're able to take that ear and put it onto the page, both in the oral dialogue, which is shared with me, the reader, and also the lyrics that beautiful blend,
yes,
of kind of cheesy and glam romantic that
exactly
was the 70s.
Yes.
It's like you were born in 1950 and you were writing these things in 1975, these lyrics. It's fabulous.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I really took a lot of time making sure that these were not lyrics that would be written today. They needed to feel like they were lyrics that would be written in the late 70s by specifically Billy and Daisy, which is to say men of the 70s and women of the 70s. So there's an earnestness there that sometimes is a little bit cringe-inducing. There's an attitude toward women in the things that Billy writes that sometimes makes me squirmish, but I think it's honest to the time period, and that was very important to me because I wanted, as you were looking at the lyrics, to not feel like you were reading lyrics from a book now. You were reading lyrics in an album in the late 70s.
And another thing that I think you pull off extremely well is the relationship between Daisy and Billy, particularly when Daisy is invited to join the band. And there's a lot of love, and there is some surface hate, which is concealing the sexual attraction, the romantic attraction, the musical attraction between the two of them. And will they or won't they return to the sheets with which their relationship starts before she joins the band? That again is a beautifully observed relationship. And somehow, I mean, I know that the music, there were bands in the 80s and the 90s and bands now where there's the same kind of tension is happening between members of the band, but you located that tension somehow again very successfully in that 70s framework.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, I was really lost for a period of time in the world of 70s rock. I think, you know, when I stopped working at the end of the day, I certainly processed that it wasn't really 1977, but I've really spent so much time immersing myself in these stories and the music. And so I was thinking very much from this 1977, 1978 worldview, and who Daisy and Billy are and the decisions that they make are things that you can't remove from the time period. they're very much grounded in that time and the sexual mores and the feminism of that time.
And then already optioned by Reese Witherspoon, I'm not sure how far that process of turning this into a television series of 6 or 8 episodes, whatever it's going to be, how far along that process is. But wow, what a dream to have somebody like Reese Witherspoon like your novel enough to want to make a television series out of it.
I mean, that's exactly it. It was a dream to find out that she wanted to option it and make it into a TV show. And so she turned around and sold it to Amazon, so it'll be 13 episodes. And they've started that process. It's very early days on that, but it is happening. And I'm completely thrilled about it. I feel like I'm first in line to want to see it. I'm very, very excited.
Who should play Daisy? Who should play Billy? You're probably not going to want to answer that.
No, well, the thing is, I don't have an answer. That's what's so crazy is that, you know, I spent so long with these people and I'm so close to them and I, it's impossible for me to figure out who should play them. So I'm very glad that it's somebody else's job to have to do that. But, I'm sure casting will happen, maybe this year and we'll get an answer to that. But I'm very eager. I'm on the edge of my seat.
It's a wonderful, wonderful book and I'm sure it's going to make an equally wonderful series. Thanks very much for the chat.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate it.
Taylor Taylor Jenkins Reid, author of Daisy Jones and the Six.